Hey, I've got a question for you today. I want you to think about this for just a moment. Let's just say that maybe you're out taking a walk through the woods and you come up to a place and there's a pond and there's big signs all over the place that say no swimming. But as you approach the pond, what you realize is there's somebody that's in the water and they're swimming and they're in trouble. They're drowning. Now you have a choice to make. Are you going to jump in and save them, or are you going to adhere to those signs that say no swimming? We're going to take a look at that today as once again we look at another one of the miracles of the Messiah that comes out of the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12. So grab your Bible. Be sure to grab that. Come on back and we'll spend some time together around the Word here in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Thank you so much for taking this time to join us today as we take a few moments to gather around the Word of God. Now, today we're going to delve into a powerful and a profound event in the life of Jesus that's recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. Now, our focus will be the healing of the man with the withered hand, and this is a passage that reveals not only the compassion of our Lord, but also a deeper significance of his actions. Now, I want you to keep in mind what we introed with, that person that was swimming in the pond, that's drowning, the signs that are up that say no swimming, and what you would do. Now, I want you to consider that as we go through the text today, and we'll circle back around on that in just a few moments. But for right now, let's take a look at our passage. It's Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12. We're going to begin reading with verse 9. It says, "Now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him? Then he said to them, what man is among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? You know, of how much more value is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him." Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you today, again, we pray that as we take these times and moments to gather around your word, that it truly would permeate our hearts. Lord, I pray that that our hearts and minds are prepared to meet you here, that we have come around your word today looking and listening for the Holy Spirit's movement in our lives. And Lord, what you want to say and what you want to speak into each and every one of our hearts and lives as we spend these moments with you today. So Lord, I pray that we will be changed because we have been in the presence of your word today. And Lord, I also ask that you would use me as your messenger for these few moments today, that your word might be disseminated to your people in a way that the Holy Spirit would truly speak to each heart and life. Draw us close to you. And Father, as always, if there's one that does not know you as Lord and Savior, we pray that today would truly be that day. So bless our time, Father, as we gather today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as we look at this particular passage, you know, we have to understand the historical context of what's taking place and what's going on here. So the context of this passage it is truly crucial for us to understand the full meaning that's behind it. Now, Jesus frequently found himself grappling with the Pharisees over interpretations of the law. And you got to remember, the Pharisees were the ones that were considered to be the learned ones of that particular day. They were the ones who understood the law. They were the ones that kept the law. They were the law police, as it were. And Jesus seemed to always find himself grappling with the Pharisees over how the law was being interpreted, particularly when it came down to the Sabbath. You know, remember, we've heard the law through the Word of God says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. But here's the problem. Yeah, the Sabbath was a day of rest. It was instituted by God, but it was strictly observed by the Jewish people. Now the problem with that is that the Pharisees had added numerous regulations, making the Sabbath more of a burden rather than a blessing. A lot of people would define that as modern day legalism, or should I say the modern day definition of legalism is pretty much what that would come up with. And I can even give you some examples. You know, you've seen people in your life like that today who they say, well, you know, men can't have their hair touch their ears or their collar. They must wear a collared shirt. Women must wear, you know, dresses that come all the way down, you know, to the floor. Yeah, a lot of things like that. Those are man-made things. Now, I understand that there can be precept behind those things. Obviously, there is a point that that people kind of push that way too far. So you have to understand that. But the bottom line in the context of what we're looking at today is that the Pharisees had added numerous regulations to the law. And what had happened was it had made the Sabbath more of a burden than it was a blessing to those that were living in that day and age. So in the passage that we're looking at today, yeah, we're reading about a man who had a withered hand. All right? Now, withered describes the man's hand as something that's kind of shriveled up or paralyzed. I know that we could probably get a picture of that in our mind. Maybe we have seen some people in the highways and byways of life as we have traveled that may fit, you know, this particular description. But I'm just picturing this man as something that, because the way it talks about it was shriveled and paralyzed. He didn't have any use of it. I can imagine that muscles had atrophied over time, and that maybe that hand was even bent in. But the bottom line is that we know that it wasn't usable. Okay, it was shriveled. It was paralyzed. All right, the Pharisees question about the lawfulness of healing on the Sabbath. Now, the problem with that is that was not born out of genuine curiosity. In other words, they weren't out there seeking what the answer may be. They weren't looking to see, you know, whether or not compassion would override the law in this particular point, but rather it was their desire to entrap Jesus. The Pharisees, it seemed like throughout the whole New Testament, were always trying to catch Jesus in something so that they would have some sort of means by which to accuse him. And there are times that really when you look at it, it almost looked like a catch-22 situation for Jesus. But you'll notice in our passage it says that you know, once Jesus gave them the answers, the Pharisees went out and actually plotted against them. Okay, so what is really the main argument of this particular passage? Well, the central argument of this passage is that Jesus, as Lord of the Sabbath, demonstrates that acts of mercy and goodness are not only permissible, but integral to God's will. And this overrides any legalistic interpretation that would hinder them. You know, you always have to think about God first, all right? Now, let me give you an example. I started off our Bible study with that particular example. Now, I hope and pray that as you thought about that for a moment, as you considered your walk out through the woods, and as you considered coming up to a pond, and as you saw all those signs that said no swimming, but then you saw somebody that not only was swimming in the pond, but they were drowning, you had a choice you had to make at that point. The choice is, are you going to jump in to that particular pond of water to save that individual because the sign said no swimming, or were you going to let them drown? Now, I would like to hope and pray and think that each and every one of us would have said, you know what, forget the signs at that point. At this point, I'm going to jump in and save the life of this individual. I would like to think that you didn't sit back and say, oh, well, let's debate this for a moment. What are the finer merits? You know, if I jump in, then technically I am going against the law on the tree that says no swimming. I could be held accountable for that. If something happened, there are so many things that can go through our minds. But for most of us in a situation like that, we wouldn't even think twice about what that sign said. We would jump in and come to the rescue of that person that was drowning. Forget what that little hand-painted sign said. We are doing the right thing, okay? Always remember this. God's will should override any legalistic interpretation that would hinder God's will from being done. I believe that in the case of our example, that God's will would be that we jump in and save an individual and save a human being, regardless of what the sign that was on the tree and planted around the pond would have to say. So as we examine this narrative today in the scripture, we observe Jesus entering a synagogue, okay, a place of worship, a place of teaching. Now consider that for a moment. This is where the Pharisees were as well. Not saying that that's a bad place to be. Obviously, that's a great place for us to be. And then what happens is, along the way, there is this man that they see, the present man, who is the one with the withered hand that we just talked about, the one that we just described. And this is a condition that renders him unavailable to work or to be able to participate fully in society. So once again, we find somebody there's not really a way for him to be able to support his family. Society would look at him as an outcast. He was not able to necessarily participate. I'm sure that there were a lot of words that were said and things that were said about this particular man along the way. But yet he's there. He's in the synagogue. He is there to hear, you know, the teachings of Jesus. And so the Pharisees, they're all there. So the Pharisees, seeing this situation, knowing that Jesus is very compassionate. As you've noticed, the theme, as we've been looking through the miracles of the Messiah, compassion has always been one of the most paramount things that we see in each and every one of these miracles. So the Pharisees, knowing that Jesus is compassionate, they seize the opportunity to challenge Jesus, hoping to find, you know, some sort of grounds to accuse him. Boy, that sounds like a fun place to be, doesn't it? But yet they're still looking to try to find some way to bring fault to what Jesus does and what he says. So Jesus responds to them, and his response is a very profound teaching moment, not only for them, but for you and I as well. See, he calls attention to the inconsistency of valuing animals over humans by giving an illustration of a very familiar scenario of rescuing a sheep on the Sabbath day. Now, that was something that they were familiar with. Yet livestock was very, very valuable to them. And basically, if there was something, if one of their sheep was in a bind, or as we've often heard, you know, the Bible say, if your ox falls in a ditch, you know, what are you going to do? You know, particularly on the Sabbath day. So obviously to them, it's kind of like our lake scenario. You know, for them, they would say, well, if my sheep falls into a ditch, obviously I'm going to rescue it. That's what you would do, even if it's on the Sabbath day. So, you know, in their own hearts and minds, they would have engaged a little bit of common sense and done the right thing. And so you can see from the illustration we talked about with the lake, you would say the same thing. Well, that's just common sense. We're going to reach out and we're going to try to help somebody. So Jesus is calling their attention to the inconsistency of valuing an animal over a human by giving that illustration of rescuing a sheep on the Sabbath day. Now, Jesus highlights the intrinsic value of human life, and he asserts that doing good is always lawful. Did you get that? Doing good is always lawful. So Jesus then instructs the man to stretch out his hand. Yeah, you know, he looks at him right there in the midst of them when they're trying to catch him in something. Jesus not only gives them a common sense answer, but he looks at the man and he says, stretch out your hand. Well, once again, here's something that the man can't do. Remember, his hand is withered. It is shriveled, probably turned in, probably with that muscle atrophy. He can't even reach out to Jesus at this particular point. But what he does do, in an act of obedience, you know, he stretches out his hand to Jesus. I almost believe, and again, this is the gospel according to Roy at this point, but to even reach to Jesus was an act of faith, and it was an act of obedience. You know, so Jesus says, you know, hey, reach out your hand to me. And I'm sure that with whatever it was that he had, he tried. Maybe it was curled up. And maybe as he started in obedience to reach to Jesus, all of a sudden, maybe his wrist straightened out. Maybe his hand started to do some things and got some mobility there that he had never had before. So in the midst of an act of obedience, healing occurred for this man. All right. See, the withered hand is not only restored, but this is a demonstration of Jesus' authority as well as the transformative power of faith. You know, how big is your faith? Yeah, I love what the Word tells us. The Word tells us that the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed can move mountains. And when you think about how tiny a mustard seed is, if you've ever seen one, how does our faith compare to that? You know, when we pray to the Lord, do we truly pray in faith? Has our faith been stretched by our circumstances so that we can count on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and not only in the midst of when the chips are down, but in each and every aspect of our lives, okay? So this is a demonstration of Jesus' authority to be able to heal, as well as his transformative the power of faith, that when you and I express that, it can transform our lives. You see, the Pharisees, they had a problem. They had so many problems along the way. But the Pharisees failed to grasp the spiritual significance of what had just taken place. And instead, they focused on their legalistic agenda. And in doing so, they plotted against Jesus. You know, it's kind of like that old expression that says, sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees. Well, that's exactly where the Pharisees were. You know, they were too busy being caught up in their legalistic agenda that they failed to see the miracle and the value of the miracle that had just taken place in front of them, or the lessons that they could learn from Jesus as well. See, their reaction underscores the limitations of adhering to the letter of the law while neglecting its spirit. Now, please understand my heart. I am not saying that you go out there and you go against all the laws. No, I'm not saying that that's what you do. But just like the illustration that Jesus gave in our text today and the one that I gave you at the beginning of our Bible study, sometimes you have to use some common sense. We know what the right thing to do is, the good thing, the compassionate thing to do. And we got to be so careful that we do not, you know, put all of our faith in the legalistic limitations that we have put on so many things in life. Yeah, and as we adhere to that law, but we neglect the spirit of it, okay? So in our lives today, this particular passage challenges us to reflect on how we approach God's commands. Think about that for just a moment. You know, we know what the commands of God's word are. So in our lives today, you know, I think we're challenged to reflect on how we approach God's commands. Do we prioritize rule over reaching out in love and mercy? You know, have we gotten so legalistic in what we do that we're missing the spirit of why we even have the laws and what Jesus is saying there? See, Jesus teaches us that our faith must be active. It must be something that is ongoing, okay? And this is seen in our willingness to do good regardless of societal expectations or traditions. Now, I am sure that you can think of things pretty much throughout your life. You can think about the times and the things that took place during segregation, maybe even desegregation. You know, when society would say that you don't sit on a bus with this individual, you don't do this, or you don't, you know, you don't mix because you're of different races, but yet you do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. It's the thing that Jesus would want you to do. I've always liked that I guess you call it an acronym, the WWJD. What would Jesus do? How would he act and react in certain circumstances and situations? I mean, I can still remember one time that I saw, it was a young African-American lady who had a whole bunch of things that she was carrying, and she dropped a bunch of books. And it was a white man that helped her pick the books up and handed them to her. And man, people around him began to get on to him because he helped this young lady. You know, the societal expectations was that you didn't have anything to do with her. And yet Jesus is saying, you know what, when it comes down to things like that, those are societal expectations that need to be broken. Or those are traditions that need to be broken because they are hindering what it is that God wants to do, not only in your life, but in the lives of people that are around you. You know, if we followed the societal expectations, our person in the pond would have drowned. And we would have stood there and watched them drown, because I'm sure that there would have been somebody that said, I can't believe that you went in that water. All the signs say that you're not supposed to be swimming in the water, but you went in anyway. Well, what was the reason that I went in anyway? The reason I went in anyway was because somebody's life was in danger. And most of us would look at that and say, that is simple common sense, as well it should be. So you and I need to emulate the compassion of Jesus Christ. We should seek to uplift those that are around us and be agents of healing in a broken world. That's what we need to do. You see, the healing of the man with the withered hand serves as a very powerful reminder of Jesus' lordship over all things, including the Sabbath. You know, it calls us to embrace a faith that reflects God's heart for mercy, compassion, and justice. Okay? Listen, can we look at that? Do we understand what's going on in that particular passage? I hope and pray that we will. And in just a moment, I'm going to pray for you that God would show you some incredible things along the way. But I want to share with you what we're going to be looking at and what your Bible reading for this week will be. This week, I want you to spend some time over in Luke's Gospel chapter 7. That's Luke's Gospel chapter 7. Next week, we're going to be discussing the 11th sermon in the Miracles of the Messiah. And that will be raising the widow's son at Nain. And the specific passage will be Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. So I hope that you'll be studied up and ready to go as we gather next week for our Bible study. But for right now, let me have a word of closing prayer with you as we begin to go on about the rest of our week. Father, we come to you again. And Lord, we want to thank you for the example of your son, Jesus. Lord Jesus is the one who showed us, you know, what it means to truly love and to serve. And Lord, as we contemplate his actions, and Lord, as we contemplate his teaching, may our hearts be moved to extend grace and compassion and kindness to other folks. Lord, I pray that you will grant us wisdom to discern your will, and then, Lord, that you will give us the courage to follow it. And Lord, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, again, thank you for taking the time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. I trust and pray that the Lord has spoken to your heart and that he has given you some things to ponder, some things to think about, and some things to carry on in your life and in your walk as you continue to go forward. I trust and pray that you're going to have a great rest of your week. And as always, we want to invite you that if you happen to be in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, we'd love to have you join us for our Sunday worship services. We start at 10:45 a.m. We do have Sunday school that starts at 9:30. Other discipleship opportunities throughout the week, such as discipleship small groups for men and for women. And then, of course, Awana for our children during the school time. So at any rate, listen, we would love to see you if you get a chance. Be sure to introduce yourself if you happen to come by and worship with us in spirit and in truth at Central Baptist Church. God bless you. Have a great week.